Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, sponsored today by ZipRecruiter. Right now, Three Martini Lunch listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. No good martinis today. No, we're bad. We're bad and we're crazy. And really, even the crazy one's bad. But we'll talk about the crazy aspect of that as well. Let's start with our first bad martini, Jim. And this one is turning out to be a story that's not quite where most people thought it was going to go. This is courtesy of CNN. A Jewish teenager was arrested Thursday in connection with a series of bomb threats that have rattled Jewish institutions and community centers across the U.S. and other countries, Israeli police said. A months-long international investigation led to the 19-year-old suspect, who used advanced camouflage technologies to cover his tracks, police spokesman Mickey Rosenfeld said. The suspect holds dual American-Israeli citizenship, an Israeli security official told CNN. He was arrested in Israel after an undercover investigation with the FBI. And remember, these were many, many threats. One guy we talked about before who got arrested for a few of those was Juan Thompson from the online news site The Intercept. But overall, there were more than 100 different threats to Jewish centers and other institutions. Kids were pulled from schools. It was awful. Jeff Sessions, the attorney general, saying that this is great work, great cooperation, and they appear to be very confident this is the person. So, Jim, we're all over the place on this. We were told by the left that this was obviously going to be some sort of Trump supporter. We were told from the right this had to be a Muslim. Well, no.
Yeah. Greg, let me move this way. When this whole thing started, and I think they're now up to, how many of them? Dozens and dozens, pretty much all across the country. If you had said that when all was said and done, that it was going to lead back to a reporter from The Intercept who is African-American and all those, were more than 100 bomb threats. If you said it was going to lead to them, to this guy, and then a Jewish teenager, or presumably a Jewish teenager in Israel, then I want you arrested, because the only way you could possibly have known that is if you were in on this too. So, this is a good martini. I'm glad they arrested the guy. It's nice to know that there is not some vast anti-Semitic neo-Nazi conspiracy going on across the country. But it's just weird. Like, who would have, and the idea that this teenager has access to the kind of technology that could stymie law enforcement for so long. They said advanced camouflage technologies. Greg, I can remember back when Star 69 was going to transform the world. Everybody who was alive in the 90s is like, yeah, and thinking back to the Scream movies and stuff like that. But no, so on the one hand, this is very good. On the other hand, I mean, this has become a major issue. Almost all of these JCCs have daycare centers and preschools and stuff like that. I do know that some folks in law enforcement had looked at this as a concern about whether this was probing, whether this was some sort of much more sinister person who was thinking about at some point launching an attack, and whether you'd call in a bomb threat to measure the response times and what the procedures were and stuff like that. Very, ominous thinking along that. It appears that's not the case. It appears it is some Looney Tunes guy over in Israel. Glad they caught the guy, and hopefully this is all of it. On the other hand, it means some schmo halfway around the world can mess up things here in the United States. This technological interconnectivity of our life has some very serious downsides. And it's kind of this frustrating sense that this 19-year-old can cause something, if not a panic, then certainly a heightened state of concern all across the country for weeks and weeks.
Wow. Maybe we need to go back to your neo-Luddite explanation from a week or two ago, where we'll be back to typewriters, rotary dial phones, or at the very least, the Zach Morris type cell phone, rather than what we've got right now.
The serious problem with that, Greg, is that it's very hard to do a podcast. You and I would be typing it up and then running around the entire country just handing it to people. Be a little less updated that way.
Fair enough. Yes, technology does help us do this job. All right, on to the next bad martini now, and on to the aftermath from the terrorist attack in London yesterday. It is being treated as a terrorist attack. Three people dead, plus the attacker. Still waiting for an actual identity. We thought we had an identity yesterday. Not sure if that's still the case or not, but Theresa May saying it believes to be someone with a radical Islamist ideology. Here's part of what she told the House of Commons earlier today.
I can confirm that overnight the police have searched 6 addresses and made 8 arrests in Birmingham and London. Mr. Speaker, it is still believed that this attacker acted alone, and the police have no reason to believe there are imminent further attacks on the public. His identity is known to the police and MI5, and when operational considerations allow, he will be publicly identified. What I can confirm is that the man was British-born, and that some years ago he was once investigated by MI5 in relation to concerns about violent extremism. He was a peripheral figure.
So kudos to May for later pointing out that this was Islamist radicalism, although she waited till paragraph 35 of her statement to actually make that point. This is, of course, related to yesterday's attack where the attacker plowed into folks outside of Parliament and then some stabbing ensued, including the death of a police officer. Finally, the person responsible was shot dead. Jim, always interesting to me that it's declared a lone wolf and yet other people were arrested. So that will be interesting to pursue as time goes on. What do you make of all this?
Yeah, look, on the one hand, we want to, you know, salute MI5 and British authorities for getting this guy, dealing with him about, you know, before he could hurt anybody else. The last thing you want to do is be critical of an ally when they've gone through something like this. But Greg, you kind of have this sneaking suspicion. This is another guy who was on the watch list, who really could have or should have been on the do something about him list. Mm. You know, we'll know more in the days to come, but certainly, you know, like you said, if he was on the radar screen of MI5 and he was peripheral at that point of that investigation, well, at some point he moved away from the periphery. And, you know, the MI5 and the British intelligence, they're pretty darn good at this. There are a lot of times the U.S. has kind of argued that European authorities are a little lax in these areas or not watching these communities where in which extremism is going on as closely as they should. The UK is pretty darn good at this. And so when they slip through, it really kind of shows you the scale of the problem. I think somebody's saying it's not a matter of technical capacity. It's not a matter of budget. It's just a matter of the scale of the problem. If you have enough potential nut jobs who are in the process of getting radicalized and hanging out on these chat boards and listening to the radical imams and buying into this idea that the only way that they can find a place for themselves in the world and to, you know, do what God wants is to run around and start killing people. The moment you start getting into that, I kind of wonder why you're in the country. I kind of, you know, if you're an immigrant, I'd like to, you know, like to see these folks get out. And if you're a citizen, well, I think it's perfectly fair for the government to monitor you, that kind of stuff. Once you start saying, you know, because if somebody was saying, hey, the Three Martini Lunch is a really great podcast and all other podcasts are terrible and we should kill other people who are involved in other podcasts, you and I would say, what the hell is wrong with this person? Right.
Right,
like,
right.
Like the idea of murdering someone to prove a point really doesn't enter our normal level of discourse within these communities that are getting radicalized. Apparently somebody would say, we got to run down some school kids over by Parliament building in order to get people to listen to us. And people around them don't say, no, that's ridiculous. That's crazy. What are you talking about? That apparently people kind of nod or they argue, well, I don't know if we need to do that quite yet or something like that. So it's a level of radicalization I think just doesn't, it's hard for those of us in the West to kind of grasp. So look, hopefully we are cooperating with the UK and giving them everything they need in moments like this. On the one hand, you don't want to throw too much criticism at the UK authorities who are clearly mobilizing and dealing with this as fast as they can. But on the other hand, look, you know, a lot of people injured, 4 dead, including, you know, some of the injured include school kids. You know, I mean, there's a picture on the front page of the Wall Street Journal today showing a member of Parliament, Tobias Elward, attempting CPR on the policeman who was stabbed, and it looks like he's the one who didn't make it. This is not what life in Western capitals is supposed to be like. And obviously we're watching this a little bit of a shudder, knowing that if it could happen there, it can probably happen here as well. So hopefully happy hunting to MI5, and they round up anybody else who's been on that. But once again, you got to, you know, question the definition of the periphery of this radicalizing community, and then who's at the center of this radicalizing community, because some guys in the periphery could turn out to be a lot more dangerous than anybody thought.
Well, very well stated. And who knows what other resources are necessary, ways to infiltrate some of these communities, because whether there are no-go zones in London, I'm not particularly sure. But I know in some of these European capitals, that becomes an issue as well. And it's very hard then to root out some of these plots that are building, some of them rather quickly. Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place just isn't enough to find quality candidates.
If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all of the top job sites. And now you can with ZipRecruiter.com. You can post your job to more than 100 job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with just a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface.
There's no juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Jim, it's intern season. I'm getting all sorts of emails and inquiries from interns who would love to be with Radio America this summer, because really there's no better place to intern. But it's, you know, when they roll in, you need a way to keep them organized, and ZipRecruiter would be perfect, not just for intern season, but year-round. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium-sized businesses. And right now, 3 Martini Lunch listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. One more time, to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. On to our crazy martini now. Federal prosecutors are investigating North Korea's possible role in the theft of $81 million from the Central Bank of Bangladesh in what security officials fear could be a new front in cyber warfare. The United States Attorney's Office in Los Angeles has been examining the extent to which the North Korean government aided and abetted the bold heist in February of 2016, according to a person briefed on the investigation who was not authorized to speak publicly. In the theft, the attackers, using a global payment messaging system known as SWIFT, were able to persuade the Federal Reserve Bank of New York to move money from the Bangladesh account, from the Bangladesh bank to accounts in the Philippines. The SWIFT system is used by some 11,000 banks and companies to transfer money from one country to another. In the months that followed the Bangladesh heist, it was disclosed that cyber thieves had also attacked banks in Vietnam and Ecuador using the same system. Jim, we think of the North Koreans as being kind of crazy and dopey, but they're getting pretty sophisticated.
Wait a minute, Greg. Did you just say the Federal Reserve Bank of New York? This is Die Hard with a vengeance. There's a load of money in the Federal Reserve, and the North Koreans just took it. Somebody called John McClane. You knew that if there was any news that tied into Die Hard, it would end up. I think you put it well, Greg, that like this program, SWIFT, doesn't seem so swift right now.
Right.
You'd think they'd have these kinds of precautions in place that you couldn't just, you know, because at least in Die Hard, you could see the enormous amount of effort that Simon Gruber had to go through. He had to, you know, fake. He had to, you know, blow up the subways. He had to have this entire fake mad bomber terrorism campaign across New York City. And then, in what made the movie genuine science fiction, he had to bring out an entirely Germanic team of contractors to come fix the problem. And here's the moment that, at any given moment, the cops should have shown up and seen a bunch of tall, blonde, white guys and said, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa. Somebody's violating federal minority hiring practices here. I can tell you guys, you're not a real contracting crew. You're German terrorists," and they could have been arrested at that point. So those of us who knew anything familiar about New York City would have said, "Wait a minute, that does, never mind. It's raining dogs and cats and things like that." That'd be the first thing we would have figured that out. But now we don't even need to do that in this era of interconnectedness we talked about in our first martini. Now they just simply type in the right numbers and I guess use the right passwords or stuff like that. You can transfer the money out of the Federal Reserve, which probably is much easier. But admittedly, it looks a lot cooler when you have 14 dump trucks full of gold bars driving down the freeways.
Oh, definitely. Don't forget the daisy cutters to cut in through the back walls of the...
Because you go to Home Depot and pick up one of those. If I remember correctly, they were going to steal wasn't it something like $40 billion in that heist, according, you know, in Die Hard with a Vengeance?
I can't remember specifically now.
I believe that, you know, putting together the heist cost them something like $38 billion. It really was very little return on investment. And of course, then they had to run to Quebec. That's where you go. Right? Where can we go that not a single law enforcement person would look? Land of poutine. That sounds good. Okay, let's do that. So, yeah.
Oh, if Simon Peter had only waited 20 years, he could have pulled it off, and it would have been a really short movie in that case, because no one would have ever known about it, at least for another year.
You know, it would have required John McClane to get not only the kid from the Mac commercial, but I also like to think it sounds like a very old, outdated system. So maybe his friend PC from the old Apple commercials, John Hodgman, should have shown up, and together they could have worked together and stopped him. See, when we can work in references to two Die Hard sequels, Greg, that's when you know it's been a good podcast day.
Sorry, Bangladesh. I'm sure it was a rough day for you, but we had to go there. Tim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And don't forget to visit our friends at ZipRecruiter. Right now, 3 Martini Lunch listeners can post on ZipRecruiter for free. Just head to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. And join us again on Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.